Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne, Hawthorne Race Course, and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Derby day right around the corner, baby. I'll get you my pick next week. Eddie Olczyk will be with us on Thursday in advance of the Derby. Download the app right now so you can bet the ponies as well. We say good morning to Shay W. Norley.
Good morning, boys. How are we, Cap? A little rough getting in this morning, but glad to see you're here.
Yeah, it was a lengthy commute, let's just put it that way. And I noticed Danny, Keith, our honchos, the bosses, they're taking the train now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that.
Something that you might consider, but you'd have to put on a nice dark suit and a skinny black tie. A little Dobbs hat.
And a little carry, a little case.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hard briefcase.
Who is that?
Wingtips.
I'm selling vacuum cleaners.
like he's in Mad Men?
Yeah, exactly.
I wear one of those little funny mustaches with the nose and glasses.
That's right. That's Cap. Good morning, everyone. Would you like an encyclopedia?
I can't do it.
I mean, shot or no shot, Cap's taking the Metro to work. Can you imagine?
No shot. He would not soil his hands on the Metro. No shot.
I've taken it before.
Yeah? How's that?
It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I got no issues with the Metro.
So you'll be on the choo-choo tomorrow then?
No shot.
Oh.
I need my truck after the show is over.
Uh-huh.
I got stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the schedule, it's not like you get them when you want them. I can get home a lot quicker.
Apparently not today.
That's coming in.
Uh-huh. So you'll be fine going out, though. No problems.
Should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
You know you live in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's Shay Norling. Shay, you just understand there's two seasons here in Chicago.
Yeah, winter and construction.
Okay? So just understand that. Brutal. I have no problems. I did my terrain around the Obama Library today.
Brutal.
It's just an extra six minutes, by the way, trying to get around that today. But I made it. I mean, it's what it is, man. Unless you want to move south, where you can go through every alley to get to downtown like I do. Every side drive, every alley. There's an alley there. Go around. Use garbage can. So the Cottage Grove. All right. Dr. King. All right, see, that's how you do it. Halsted. Go through this alley.
There's Dunbar High School.
Bronzeville. Downtown. That's the way to do it, man.
It's come for all of us, brother. Northbound on Lakeshore now, and all summer, nightmarish.
Oh, yeah.
Down to one lane. It's come for all of us.
Yeah.
All right, boys, in the time that Aaron Rodgers was the Packers quarterback, he played the Bears 29 times, and he went 24-5, including winning the last eight straight. The Packers have dominated the rivalry for the better part of three decades with uninterrupted Hall of Fame quarterback play, but shot or no shot. With Rodgers gone, this is the year the rivalry shifts back.
It's a shot. Say it.
Shot. I mean,
shot. I say they were going to win a game. So 1-1 against the Packers.
Yeah, I could see this splitting with them.
We win here, they win there.
There's the rivalry shift back. Like, you weren't born yet. Hoodie and I remember in the 80s, we won every single game.
Dominated them.
Oh, beat the crap out of them.
They were just, honest to God, Eric Kramer, they were just another team. The Packers back then. Oh, my God. You couldn't wait for them to come in.
We had McMahon. We had Fuller. We had Tom Zach. I mean, whoever it was out there, we beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Don Majkowski was over the line of scrimmage? There was no review back then, and they called it a touchdown. Ditka made them put an asterisk in the media guide. Packers win whatever the score was. Asterisk game. Because we got screwed.
That's when things started to change.
And then in the 90s, it started to change.
That Majkowski game, I think that was the beginning of the end for that rivalry, for the Bears to be beating the hell out of the Packers. I believe that I could draw a line of demarcation to that game, Cap, that Majkowski game. And all of a sudden, things started to change. But the 80s, absolutely. So I say shot. I say shot this morning.
Shot.
Yeah. Because if it starts to shift, that means you're actually winning. And I think that he can win against the Packers. And then I think moving forward, as the Packers try to figure out who the quarterback is, maybe it's Love, maybe it's not. But the Bears should be able to do better. As they get better, the Packers are going, you know what? They're going to redo this thing. Yeah. Shay, do you agree with that based on their draft picks and what they got for this Rodgers deal, that they're going to have to get definitely better at the wide receiver room, definitely better defensively? I feel like it's not going to be a total rebuild, but things will change.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I talked to Cap this morning and you in the pre-show meeting, I think this team's going to be really bad. And I feel like I'm kind of on an island with that take, but I think this Packers team was bad last year, and it took Rodgers going nuts over the final month and a half of the season to get them close. I think this team's horrible this year, and I don't know that they're going to be a three-win awful. You have to be a special kind of awful to be that bad, but I think they could be a 4-5-6-win team. That's generally where you're in rebuild territory.
I'm Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning on ESPN Milwaukee. They're pro Chewy. They're all. I'm sorry. They're pro Gutekunst. And they believe in Gutekunst. Okay.
I do think they won the trade. I'll be honest.
Well, if the Jets go out and go to a Super Bowl, then both teams did well. The Jets got what they wanted.
Ticket. Burning ticket in your pocket.
Shay. On my phone.
Mm-hmm. Shay.
Bears insider Jeff Hughes is sticking to his reporting on Twitter, claiming that the Bears, quote, don't want to pick at 9. If it's true that they aren't interested in using the 9th pick, shot or no shot, this all but guarantees they'll take an offensive lineman after they trade down.
That's a shot. That's a shot. Shay, you don't have enough time in the day to fact check this stuff, but I wish we had someone to be able to fact check all the stuff that we've talked about over the last month, all the conjecture, all the rumor and innuendo, and see who's right and who's wrong. I mean, so much crap is out there about what the Bears are going to do, what they're not. I mean, and as if they're writing it as fact, not rumor colon, not I'm hearing colon, the Chicago Bears will, you know that for a fact? You're in Lake Forest? You know this? I wish we had a fact checker like they have on the new. Never mind. Like they have, because that's not a real thing. But you know what I'm saying, Cap? A fact checker going through every blog, every column about telling us, written as fact, not what I'm hearing. The Bears will trade down in this trip.
But it takes two to tango to trade down. It'd be cool if they go from 9 to whatever 14. And they say, we still got one of our guys, and we picked up a future whatever. I'm good with that. I want a starting offensive lineman or a starting defensive lineman. Somebody who can really play.
You have to.
You have to.
You have to.
Cannot take a wide receiver at 9 and go, I can't believe he couldn't get that pass off. That guy was open. Yeah, because he's on his ass again.
Can't do it.
I know you're talking to me, but I'm telling you, Burrow got a lot of passes off to Chase with the worst offensive line in football that first year. A lot. And, fun fact, this is where it gets interesting to me. Of the final four teams in the playoffs last year, none of them took an offensive lineman in the first round in the last four seasons.
Damn!
Bears are in a different spot, though.
The Eagles have the best offensive line in football.
I'm just saying the Bears are in a different spot, though. Shay, practically, if you don't want Justin Fields to run all over the yard like he did last year, you like to have an offensive line to hold up for him to get the pass down the field.
Or receivers that get open fast enough that you take some pressure off the line to guard for 5 seconds.
DJ Moore.
You get Moore, you get JSN, you start to have a really talented core. Maybe you've got options. You don't need to block for 5 seconds.
Tell the folks who JSN is.
Jackson Smith and Jigba of Ohio State.
Yeah. Not on the ball club yet, by the way, but he's already got him on the depth chart.
He's on my chart.
Uh-huh.
He's the Shea guy. I'm locking it in. I've been vocal about this for a couple months.
Is he number one ranked by the reputable? Like, there's 4 billion of these stupid mock drafts. No, I'm asking about, like, the guys who do this for a living.
I do this for a living. Yes, he is the number one ranked. But yes. Anywhere you go, he's the top ranked wide receiver.
Yes.
Because I keep hearing Zay Flowers is rocketing up the draft boards.
He's not past JSN, but yes. And Quentin Johnston, now we're getting in the weeds, falling like a brick. We'll get to that in around the NFL.
Okay. Here's Shay Norland.
The White Sox lost their 5th straight game last night. They fell to 9 games under .500 to continue a brutally disappointing start to a season where they desperately needed a bounce back. Shot or no shot, Hoodie, the front office needs an overhaul.
That's a shot. That's a shot. Sometimes it's okay to have new eyes on your organization. I think that the average Sox fan would say the same thing. Some would be in the opinion of, we got to change ownership. Well, if you're owner of a Major League Baseball team and someone say you need to sell it, would you sell it just because a fan would say it? No. You'd want the money to keep coming in. You like the idea of being an owner for a franchise. Just because a fan says you should sell it doesn't mean that you should. What I'm saying is that it's okay, Cap, to have a fresh set of eyes on the organization. But again, as I've said many times with the Bulls and the White Sox, it's about loyalty over there. And because of the hard work that's been put in, again, the hard work is one thing. I know they're working hard, Cap, but never confuse activity with accomplishment. Just because you are working hard doesn't necessarily mean that you're a winner. This team is going backwards because they are stale. White Sox baseball stale at this point in time. The window is supposed to be open for what, 6, 7, 8 years for you to get through it and at least knock it down one time for a World Series championship? Not saying that it won't happen, but I can only talk about the here and now. And I'm here to tell you that 7-16 is not good enough. And I don't want to hear any more excuses about, well, we would have been a winning team, but we've had injuries. Well, you think that the average Sox fan wants to hear that year in and year out? Now, when that happens, people say, what's up with your medical? How come your guys can't stay healthy? Why is the same guys getting hurt? And if the same guys are getting hurt, why don't you change them? These are just simple questions that a 9-to-5er is asking this morning if you're a White Sox fan.
Yeah, and
are those fair questions or not?
Very fair, but I don't think it has anything to do with the medical staff.
Oh, doesn't. Okay.
Tim Anderson getting run into by third base has to do with the doctor? He hurt his knee. It happens.
I was talking about Moncada. That's what I was talking about. I was talking
some
about
guys are soft.
And I was talking about Joe Kelly. I was talking about all these guys.
Joe Kelly came with an injury history. Like, well, they have signed guys that may not pass the grit test. Joe Kelly has had issues staying healthy in his career, and you paid that dude. How many years you signed him for? 2 or 3?
Somewhere in that area, yeah.
I think it was 2.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of money, like $16 or $17 million. Okay. You knew what you were signing up for.
So you want to Sox-blame Moncada for me? Or
I don't know. He wasn't the guy they wanted. They wanted Rafael Devers in the deal, and the Red Sox said, and not happening. We will not make the trade if that's who it is.
No, the question still stands.
How soft? Feather soft or tissue soft?
I would say more like puffs soft.
Puffs tissue soft.
Yes.
Yeah. Soft enough.
Soft enough. I don't think it has anything to do with the doctor. I don't.
All right.
I do not. You know, everyone fired on the team doctor for the Bulls, and he didn't even do the surgery on Lonzo. Oh, he didn't?
All I'm saying is that you can understand why an average fan would question, and I think that's fair. When you see the same injuries with the same guys, there's questions all around. Why the underachievement? Why everything stays stagnant? What's going on with the medical? An average fan has a right to ask that, especially if they're a season ticket holder. If they're paying through their nose to see that product at 7-16, they got a right to ask the question.
I agreed, and I think Rick would tell you he has not done a good enough job. The mix in that room is not working for whatever reason.
You know, how about Aloy? You want to explain that one too? Why he's always out in and out of the lineup because of injuries?
I can't.
Okay.
I can't tell you. I would think he would be just a DH and not play him in the outfield. But again, that goes back to the roster you have. The other day, and I know TA's out, Romy Gonzalez and Lenine Sosa, who's hitting like, oh, whatever. That's the best you've got with the game on the line late in the infield? That's it?
That's an organizational issue. No question. When you underachieve, it's everybody.
And do I think Rick's hands have been tied at times of what he can spend? I do.
Okay.
So it all is a bad mix.
All right. Come around the NFL with us. That'll be next. Don't forget Albert Breer at 8:35. All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League right here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. Also on YouTube as well, youtube.com. Look for the ESPN Chicago channel. Make sure you subscribe to the ESPN Chicago channel and watch the show live and all the interviews you might have missed. Check them out on YouTube. Look for ESPN Chicago. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Well, let's start with whatever's going on with C.J. Stroud. The narratives, I mean, there was no negative story around him at all for a while. And then Brady Quinn came out and said some things. And now there's more reporting that claims he scored low on the NFL's cognition tests, that he's difficult to coach. And it sounds like his draft stock could really be slipping. I think it was Peter King that said, can we all kind of agree it wasn't just the Texans that didn't like him? Nobody liked him in their meetings. What is going on here? No negative story all offseason. All of a sudden, the slander has come out against C.J. Stroud.
Again, it's lying season. Mm-hmm. Is somebody trying to put a narrative out there? So, look who's sitting on the board for us to pick. I don't know. It's a great question. He certainly looked like a hell of a player at Ohio State.
Indeed. I ignore all of that. I mean, listen, I think that it comes down to this, and we mentioned this to Albert Breer and Courtney Cronin as well, is that just no one's just knocked out by this quarterback class, Cap. That's as simple as we could put it. Normally during this time, we'd be waiting and looking forward to, my God, who's the next group of quarterbacks are coming into this league. The league is hot with quarterbacks, whether it's veterans on the precipice of winning, people trying to reach where Patrick Mahomes is right now, young quarterbacks like Herbert and others. But now you look at this class and you're like, And again, I could be completely wrong because I look at this through college football eyes, but just nothing seems to resonate with me as far as this first round of quarterbacks.
Like, there's no one, even Bryce Young has his detractors because of his size.
Yeah.
There's no one that you go, guaranteed that guy's going to multiple Pro Bowls. He's an all-pro. He can take me to the Super Bowl. Nobody. Right?
Yes.
Now, it might happen if he stays healthy, but there is no Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning. Who was the other guy? Jacksonville quarterback. Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of those guys in this draft that you guarantee I got to move up and get that guy. Next year, Caleb Williams and Drake May are projected to be those dudes.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out. But you're right. There are questions on all of them. Is somebody trying to slander C.J. Stroud, or is it legit?
It's interesting. Chicago Rilla in our Twitch chat brought up this kind of happened to Justin Fields when he came out of Ohio State. Remember, Denver put out the report about Justin Fields having epilepsy, and all of a sudden his draft stock took a hit.
I recall that. As I remember that being the analysis when I worked with Brian Hanley that day. He's like, you know, you mentioned the epilepsy. I'm just like, dude, like that was not an issue in college. It is on his resume, yes. But it looks like that he'll be able to overcome that. But yes, it's part of your career. It's part of your life. I get that. But I still think that someone will spin out of here, Cap, and be a good pro. I just don't know which one. Like, I can't tell you today that Will Levis is going to be good, C.J. Stroud, or the kid from Alabama, Bryce Young. Not sure. All depends on the system.
Yeah, and it's not as though these teams don't know that Justin had epilepsy. They didn't break any news. It just, for whatever reason, that kid started to slide, and maybe we will be the beneficiaries of such slidery. Shay.
Speaking of Will Levis, Mel Kiper, his latest mock draft, has Will Levis number two going to Houston.
I'll take a 10-pack of slideries, by the way.
They're good.
And with onion rings. I'll take that.
Really good.
Say it again, Shay.
Mel Kiper has Will Levis number two to Houston. Is this really going to happen? Will Levis is really going to go number two overall. The betting markets hinted at it over the weekend. They shifted to minus money for Will Levis going number two, which isn't Vegas going, we have insider knowledge. It's people betting a lot of money saying, we have a feeling something's up. Now Mel Kiper's mock draft has Will Levis going number two.
Is he really going to go to Houston? Are they going to trade that pick?
They could trade that pick, but I think that as a show, we agree that more than likely, D'Amico Ryans will look for him a defensive lineman with his pick in the draft.
Right, like Tyree Wilson, everyone seems to think. Now there's speculation this morning, Jalen Carter, number two, to Houston.
No, You don't want that if you're Houston. Trying to straighten up and fly right. I'm not saying that Carter would take you backwards. I'm just saying, just you don't have to guess it. Well, first of all, he's guessing. Dad report, I heard that. But Will Levis at two would be reach. Reach at two.
Again, you better be right. Ryan Pace said, oh, my beer, I got Mitch. He was wrong.
Yep.
You better be right.
Don't you think, Shay, that, again, if you're the Texans, another team that needs almost everything, don't you find yourself in a position to get yourself an offensive, defensive lineman similar to the Bears? Trying to get better in the trenches?
I mean, I think that they do need a quarterback. I don't believe Davis Mills is the guy. I wouldn't go with Will Levis.
It was none of the four that we've talked about a lot here. That includes Richardson as well.
Where does he end up? Does he go to the Colts at four? Does he slide to... I know the Raiders love Anthony Richardson. I'm talking about love.
We'll see. I don't know. Just can't wait for Thursday. So much out there. Again, I just want to be able to bookmark all these guys that have it wrong. I'd love to get that. Just go through the screed of question marks, rumor, and innuendo, because there's so much out there. All right, Shay.
New Steeler, former Ram, former Bear, Allen Robinson, quote, I still have some football in me.
Needs to get it out then. He's got football.
That's not nice.
Oh, he needs to push that out. That's what he needs. He's to need some Metamucil and get that football out of him. Because, I mean, where? Hey, boy.
Jeez.
Sheets. I would say that if he's got some good football in him, I'm sure he would be a scrap heap pickup for somebody. Perfect Patriot, Allen Robinson.
Can I go back to something from the previous topic for a moment, please?
You don't want to talk Allen Robinson.
I'll get to that in a minute. He's not as important as this one. So Darren Revelle just tweeted this. Big movement in the NFL draft overnight. Will Levis has now moved from 50-1 to 10-1 to go number one overall.
You know who's holding the ticket on Will Levis number one overall?
You,
Cap.
Your producer right here. I have a number one overall, Will Levis.
I would just rather just hand me the money so I could burn it. I think that's even better than you just putting your bet on that.
Can you imagine if we're watching Thursday night, here's the commissioner, the pick is in. The Carolina Panthers select Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky.
Mayo.
What?
Mayo in the coffee is not going to be the number one pick in the draft. Don't think so. The guy that eats the banana whole with skin and all is not going number one in the draft.
10-1? He went from 50-1 to 10-1? Somebody knows something.
Yeah. Thank goodness I don't gamble. All right, Shay, what else do you have?
A little culture for you and me, Hood. Some college. Did you see this very interesting story? Colorado had 18 players enter the transfer portal after their Monday spring practice, and that included a four-star cornerback. So it's not just the scraps that Deion's vacuuming out of there. It's everyone.
Damn.
Yeah, you know, it's like he's running like an NFL team, right? He's trying to find people that want to play for him and will not. I saw some of his spring game. I mean, the crowd is into it. Obviously, if you're a Colorado Buffalo fan, like, Deion's in town. He's walking it and he's talking it. Deion, right? Now, it all might be bluster, Cap, but he's trying to put butts in seats and get people interested in the program. He's a PR machine. Now, can he coach that team?
That is the best description I've heard. PR machine. No question. Will get you on the back pages of the sports section wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Can he win football games in a pretty damn competitive league? May not be the SEC or the Big Ten. It's a really good league.
Well, it's not only is it a really good league, you're the very bottom of it. Like, this is, Colorado is the worst football program in the Pac-12. People thought, like, Deion going there, this might turn around quickly. I think this is going to be very long-term and rather painful.
Yeah, you heard what he said, Cap. 18 Colorado Buffaloes players entered the transfer portal after the post-spring practice. It wasn't that hard, though, Shay. Was it? Was that practice that hard? He's like, I don't want to be part of this.
Well, you know, when he came in, he said, hop in the portal. I'm bringing new talent in here. Half you people aren't going to be here. Get in the portal. Get out. And I guess they took it seriously because this post-spring practice, boy, did they all leave.
18.
What was surprising to me was it was highly recruited guys who were leaving, too. It wasn't like corners who were highly recruited gone. It wasn't just the bums on the team get out. It was some of the good players.
I mean, Cap, if nothing else, it's going to be interesting to watch Deion and how he is able to coach in this Power 5. But when 18 guys leave, he told them, you want to go? Go. But how much time does he have to get that thing right?
Signed a long deal for a lot of money, and that school said, we have to raise the money to do this. So it's not like they're riding in to buy him out.
Was it like 6 years?
I think it was a 6-year deal for big money. More than he ever made as a player. There, he's got a long runway there. And if you don't want to play Deion's way, he doesn't care if you're a 5-star or an 8-star or a 1-star. Get out. Go on.
5-year, $29.5 million deal will earn him $5.5 million in the first year.
Now just remember, again, Colorado was 1-11 last year. 1-11 last year. All I know is that I'm on Coach Sanders' bandwagon. I'm not taking the portal because that guy can get me in the NFL. He knows everybody. Deion, I'm one of your better players. Is there any way I can get in the draft? I mean, you do it. You can do what you do as a player and do the best job you can. But at the same time, Cap, you got Deion Sanders. He can open doors for you, can't he?
2-10 this season? Would.
Yes.
I got to look at their schedule.
1-11 last year for the Colorado Buffalo. All right, coming up next, Albert Breer with the latest on Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, the Bears, and the NFL. Cap'n Jay Hood right here on ESPN 1000, also 100.3 FM, HD2.
Let's go.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCapMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
It's the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 10. Then Mike Greenberg comes in from 10 until noon. Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 5:30 right into White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Blue Jays. Mike Clevenger on the mound for the Sox against Berrios of the Blue Jays. 5:30 pregame, 6:07 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. We'll hear from Albert Breer in a little while here on Cap'n Jay Hood. But, Cap, as we take a look at the big story here, once you're a Jet all the way.
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet.
That's exactly right. The New York Jets have picked up Aaron Rodgers. And so it's a Rodgerless NFC North with the Chicago Bears now having Justin Fields in place. He, along with Jordan Love of the Packers, Cousins from Minnesota, and Jared Goff, man, from Detroit. Those are your quarterbacks there. It's a new-look NFC North.
So I don't think there's any doubt that the favorite, doesn't mean they're going to win, is Detroit. They've got 2 first-round picks this year. They've got 3 in the top 50 picks. They've got a team that was peaking at the end. They ended Aaron's run in Green Bay. Jared Goff, man, had a great season last year. Now, can they take the next step? That's a franchise that's never done it. They don't have a history of winning. Mm-hmm. They are looking, with Dan Campbell at the helm, can we take the next step, finally get in the postseason and make a run? I think they can. I think they're loaded, absolutely loaded. But Kirk Cousins came off a really good year. They won 13 football games, and as much as I don't want him as our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, you can't argue with his multiple 4,000-yard passing seasons. We've never had one as a franchise.
Correct.
So Justin has to prove it, and they have to protect him, and they have got to get him more weapons. That's what it's all about.
But I guess the overarching question, though, and I think it's not just for Chicago Bears fans, it's just like you and I just think that the average Bear fan is wondering, you may be optimistic about the Chicago Bears today, but what gives you solace that the Bears will get this right? That's the question, right? We know that this rebuild is not something you could do overnight, even though, as Shea's told us and given us examples of teams that have bounced back from being the dregs of the league to be able to turn it around with one draft class, one free agency class, and all of a sudden you're right there in the mix. I think that's one of the reasons why the NFL is so popular, in that the championship does not stay in one place for a long time like it does in the NBA. The Larry O'Brien Trophy stays in one place. It's the Bulls' time. It's Golden State's time. It's Detroit's time. It's San Antonio's time. It's the Miami Heat's time. We've seen this. The Lakers' time. Celtics. But with the NFL, I think one of the reasons why that the NFL is popular, and there's a long list of reasons, but one of them is that you feel like your team has a chance.
Every year.
Unless it's just mismanaged. And we got a number of those in the NFL. But for the most part, though, a draft class or a free agency class can turn it. But the bigger question is, how do we know? Do we believe that the Bears will get this right? New does not necessarily mean better. New means a new set of eyes. When asked earlier in our hour on Shot or No Shot, do you think that the White Sox need a new set of eyes in the organization? However the question was posed, yeah, absolutely. It gets stagnant after a while. You get too comfortable, or you're too comfortable in the underachievement. You lay and you wallow in it. So the Bears decided to do something different by getting Pace out and Poles in, just having a new president as Ted Phillips retires and got Kevin Warren in. It's a fresh set of eyes in the organization. They don't know the pain that you and I know, but they can look at it and say, well, this is how Kansas City does it. This is how the Philadelphia Eagles do it. This is how Seattle used to do it. We want to have that here. So how do we know, though, that the Bears will be able to get this right? Why are we so optimistic?
Because we're fans. Because we want to believe. That's why I look at this team. They have the worst defensive line in the NFL. And they've done very little, other than your guy DeMarcus Walker, to fix any of the problems up front there. Mm-hmm. Who's their starting right tackle? They don't have one. So they better come out of this draft with one that you could drop in there and he can play. Not some guy in the seventh round where we're going to try him. That's why I think it's still a long way away. You can't address everything in one draft. You just can't. You either trade 9 to whatever and get a really good player there and more assets, or as you said, who's the best guy on the board at 9 that addresses a weakness of mine?
Sure.
Is it a corner? Okay, we need one of those. Is it a tackle? Need one of those. Is it a pass rusher? Need 2 of those. We want to believe in Ryan Poles because we saw the previous guy trade away our picks. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll trade him for Khalil Mack. That didn't work. All right, we'll trade him for Justin. So far, that hasn't worked. We'll see if it does. All right, we'll draft Mitchell Trubisky. Nope, that didn't work. Just keep going back. Kevin White, Leonard Floyd. Like, how? I said this to my wife last night. We were talking about the draft. How am I in the car coming home from work, listening to you at night, saying, I'm a Georgia fan, Leonard Floyd cannot play. He's okay. Yeah. Do not do what you have to do to get him. And they moved up to get him from 11 to 9.
Yeah.
Come in the next day, I go, hey, Yerk, you have a relative that played at Georgia, right? Yeah. I think his nephew. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Leonard Floyd? Can't play, kid. He doesn't have a big backside. Cannot get off blocks. So I hear you two guys, no disrespect, two radio guys. Now, Yerk played in the league. I get it. Two guys sitting in a radio studio in Chicago, don't take that guy. And a guy we're paying, I don't know what we paid him, $2 million a year to make value decisions on our football team, doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and you're going to miss, though. You're going to miss.
So we so want to distance ourselves from what we had and believe in what we've got now. That's why AK and Eversley haven't gotten as much smoke as they deserve, because we so wanted Gar Pax out.
Yes. And it's still stuck in neutral on the west side.
Correct. And if Rick Hahn isn't the guy and they bring in the next guy, if you don't let him spend money and you make intelligent long-term signings for to play with the Joneses, so to speak, keep up with everybody else, you're not going to win.
So why don't we do this? Let's ask this question, Shay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. If you trust in Ryan Poles and believe they can fix this, why? We just talked about it, so we're asking you. If you believe in Ryan Poles and that they could fix this team, tell us why you believe that's the case. Also, yet another former front office person does not believe in Justin Fields. You'll hear from him and get your calls in here next on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
So Shea bet Will Levis 50-1 to go number one overall. I gave you what it was doing earlier from overnight. He was 50-1. He's down to 6-1 to be number one. And Shea, you got some Reddit information?
Yeah, I've talked to a buddy of mine who works at a sports book, and apparently this is verifiable as well. Will Levis reportedly is telling friends and family that the Carolina Panthers are picking him number one overall.
I just bet Will Levis at 6-1. $50. Mindy, we're going out for a good dinner if that hits.
Doug Whaley, a former executive and former collegiate player, and it was a senior vice president of player personnel in the XFL. Was the general manager for the Bills for a few years, too, Cap, between 2013 and 2017.
So he hired Rex.
I think that's right.
Wasn't Rex the head coach under him?
I believe that is correct. Nonetheless, this Pittsburgh native, Doug Whaley, was on KJM.
Mm-hmm.
Slow day over there with Doug Whaley.
Okay.
I got all these experts. Doug Whaley comes on. And he says this about the Chicago Bears. Listen closely.
I would go with Bryce Young, the quarterback, and then go from there. And to tell you the truth, I'm surprised, and I understand why Chicago didn't do it. But think about it this way. If you're Chicago, you got the number one pick. You have Justin Fields. The analytics show that quarterbacks picked in the first round is less than 50%. Why wouldn't you stay and get a Bryce Young? Then you have competition, which raises the level of everybody's game. And then you have a backup that you know is qualified. And a year or two from now, guess what you can do? You can use whoever doesn't win that job as a commodity and be able to trade them and get more picks. So analytically, you might have an argument to say Chicago should have stayed at one and picked the quarterback.
Doug Whaley.
So he doesn't crap on Justin as much as I thought he was going to. He's just not all in. Well, let's see who wins the battle is basically what he's saying. You can't do that. We got a ton of draft capital and DJ Moore. I disagree. There's a reason Doug Whaley went from the Bills to the XFL.
You know the problem with that 43-second cut? You know the problem with that is? He kept bringing up analytically.
Right.
He's one of those guys. When you bring up analytics as part of the argument, yes, it's part of the fact, yes. That's only part of the conversation, though, Cap.
Correct.
It's only part of the conversation.
There's intangibles.
That's all I'm saying. Like, that's what's wrong with that. This is the problem. At some point, Cap, it's one thing to research. I have no problem with research. I have no problem with looking through numbers and saying, these numbers tell me this about this player. But at some point, there's got to be, I don't know, your left and right eye. At some point, there's got to be the gut feeling. All that has to be part of it. Analytically, what you should do is, based on the numbers, is that because you're the number one pick, you should draft a quarterback. Well, okay. So, hey, Doug, have you seen this defense? Hey, Doug, have you seen the offensive line? Hey, Doug, have you seen the lack of weapons for Justin Fields? See, everyone never takes into account the facts because it's so just covered in numbers, drowned in numbers, that you don't actually watch the game. It is amazing how this works in sports now, Cap, where, again, you and I appreciate the numbers, but the average baseball fan, or no, the analytical baseball fan, the seam head would tell us that whole thing about the win stat. Yeah, winning doesn't matter. It doesn't? Well, that's why I get up in the morning to win.
Correct.
So if you lose today, it's okay, because analytically, based on 365 days, I'm supposed to lose some days. No, you're in it to win it all the time.
Correct.
Your day, your games, your organization. This guy here, Doug Whaley's throwing analytics out there. And ultimately what he's telling you is that he'd rather get a new quarterback in here than Justin Fields. Because he, like some others that we've heard from over the last 2 months, 3 months, feel like Justin's not the guy. Did anyone watch the games? Or did you just look at the numbers and say, boy, it's just gross underachievement. He's got to be the 80th best quarterback in the National Football League. Did you watch the games? Did you see the talent or lack thereof? Jay Moore.
It's just like we was discussing earlier in the morning show meeting on Kirk Cousins versus Goff. Even though their numbers were close, Goff is still considered the better quarterback.
What's your name?
Is he?
Yeah.
The skin on the wall.
But you look at, because he took the Rams to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, that, and if you go back and look at last season, Goff had only less than 100 fewer yards, the same number of touchdowns, and 7 fewer interceptions.
I mean, again, regular season-wise.
Much higher quarterback rating, way better EPA per play if you care about the advanced stuff. I think Goff is well clear of Cousins, to be honest.
Well clear.
He's not that far. I'm just waiting for I'm waiting for your phone or my phone to ring with Waddle. I'm just waiting. Because I know that he just one button, he could give us all the Kirk Cousins stats.
Right.
because he'll fight anybody on Kirk. And again, it's just for me, it's based on the regular season. I've said for years now, the Vikings are a quarterback away from getting to where they need to be. They've had wide receivers, defense, offensive line. They've had everything except the quarterback to lead them through.
So if you go back from this past year, Kirk Cousins threw for 4,547 yards, passer rating of 92.5. Okay. 21, 4,200 yards and a 103.1. 2020, 4,200 yards and a 105. The year before that, 3,600 yards. But a 26-6 TD to interception and a 107.4. Like, this dude's putting numbers up now. Yep. I don't want him as my quarterback. There's something I don't like about him.
Cousins?
Yes.
What you don't like about him is he's an A to B quarterback.
Right.
There's a ceiling there. You've seen it.
Yeah.
Big games, whatever what is it, Shay? Night games?
Primetime games. He's terrible. He chokes in primetime. I think a lot of it is the Vikings really insulated him. And again, him and Goff are similar in that way where that was gross.
God almighty.
He choked.
Oh, my God. is that what happens when you choke someone else? I'd never be into that then. Here's Shane Orley.
Goff and Cousins are similar in that you really have to have a highly talented roster around them to get it going. But I think like what we saw when Goff was on the Rams and they had that incredible team and they made the Super Bowl, he was really pretty good. When he's on the Lions and they have this great offensive line and a lot of wide receivers and dynamic running backs, he was great.
All right.
I think he's got a slight edge on where Cousins is at this point. Cousins is also getting older, Cap.
Jay Moore, are you ready? You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, choke me.
Go ahead, give me the sound.
What on earth?
Go ahead, chuck me. Oh my God,
if that was the sound after that, I'd be leaving after choking.
Wow.
Like, if you're into that and that's the sound that comes afterwards, I'm out.
I'm gone.
So long.
That's exactly right. In 2 minutes, we'll get your phone calls in here. We see you on hold. We'll get you your phone calls. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. We're talking to you about the Rodgerless NFC North. He is now gone. And also, Bears fans, if you trust in Ryan Poles and believe that he can fix this, tell us why. It's one thing to be a Bears fan. Do you believe that he can be the guy to be able to fix this for the Chicago Bears? You also heard from Doug Whaley as well, saying that the Bears should have kept the number one pick and drafted the quarterback. Your reaction to all of this in 2 minutes on Cap and Jay Hood.